Welcome to the July 14th edition of the PFF Forecast, recording here live from New York City, which is where I am. It took me like 20 minutes to figure out how to not look like a total moron on camera, and yet still, moron, here I am. But we have a great show nonetheless. We're going to talk Aaron Rodgers, react to what seemed to be a pretty strong statement from Adam Schefter on Chris's podcast, what that means for the betting market. We'll debate some Jordan Love. That'll be a lot of fun. And then we are going to talk about some season-long props that you can find potentially out in the wild, even with some odds boosts, and how some PFF data that can help you out in particular with regard to interceptions. It'll be a lot of fun. Great podcast. Let's rock. It's the midsummer wonky hair podcast. That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, George. You know, it's. I feel like this is the most football day that's ever lived.
Why is that?
7/14/21.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Look at you. Did you?
I mean, it would have been more football.
You obviously didn't come up with that on the spot. You didn't come up with that on the spot.
No, just right now. I just came up with it. Very nimble mind. It's all the. So hey, if anybody wants to come at us with a like a. You heard all those podcasts with like those like brain pills that every podcast shills. If you're a brain pill proprietor, come at us. Give us some money.
By the way, I should mention right now on pff.com, no brain pills, but 40% off with promo code SAVE40. And here's what I'll tell the people. Look, we're going to talk about props here in a second. You're not going to get a better discount than this. Okay. You've probably got a fantasy draft or two coming up. Go do yourself a favor, get the props tool, get a PFF Elite subscription, get 40% off, prepare for your fantasy draft, and just be ready to go, man. Be ready for a season of love, really, where, I mean, everyone's so excited about the football season, but I could not be more excited from a betting perspective as well, with how easy it's going to become to bet on props. Hopefully that becomes something that's, you know, a little easier to do. It's not always Sunday morning where they start pulling them back a little bit. It's exciting. So go use that promo code SAVE40. You get all the premium content, all the betting tools, all the fantasy tools, and you get 40% off. Let's talk Rodgers here. So Adam Schefter on Chris Collinsworth's podcast, recommend go checking that out from yesterday. A lot of good conversation there, but one of the things that they did was they talked about the Rodgers situation, and the quote that stuck out to me, and I'm curious if this was one stuck out to you or if you had something else that you keyed in on, was Aaron Rodgers is really dug in. This is about him not wanting to be in Green Bay. That's what stuck out to me. That seemed pretty strong.
Yeah. On this show, we've been fairly steady. I think at least I've been. I still am like of the belief that Rodgers either plays in Green Bay in the fall or doesn't play at all. What do you think this does? Do you think that this, because I see like a Carson Palmer situation sort of erupting here. And that means, you know,
that's not fair to Aaron Rodgers though.
It isn't fair to Aaron Rodgers, but it's a similar situation where like, at this point, Rodgers is so good that I don't know if a team can give Green Bay enough, right, in the trade market.
Sure.
Whereas, like, Palmer was certainly worse. So then when the Raiders came with, I believe, 2 first-round picks, I can't don't quote me on that. That was certainly worthwhile. But, like, the Packers aren't taking 2 first-round picks right now, right?
Right.
And everybody's sort of hay is in the barn as far as their quarterback situation, for better or worse, except for a couple teams here and there. And so I think, like, to me, if I was the Packers, and maybe they were blindsided by this, but if you didn't take what San Francisco reportedly offered them on draft day, you weren't going to trade him. And so, like, I feel like now they just have to hold out for desperation. Let's say a quarterback gets hurt in training camp, gets hurt during the season. Like, you remember the Carson Palmer trade to the Raiders was because Jason Campbell like broke his collarbone and the Raiders were in first place, I think, in the AFC West at the time. So to me, like if I'm betting on something, let's say like where does Aaron Rodgers start week one, I would bet like he doesn't, honestly. And you know, or he plays for Green Bay.
What's interesting, this was gonna be my next point. Look, I said this, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I love the Green Bay Packers plus 2.5 against the Saints because the Saints are playing Jameis Winston, and I think the Packers are playing Aaron Rodgers. And my reasoning for that was, you know, one of my favorite quotes is time wounds all heals, which is a Beatles quote. And I think it's a funny, it's an accurate play on words. And in this case, I thought, you know, time wasn't necessarily healing the wounds here, but pacifying them enough where both sides could come. You know what it reminded me of, Eric? Is, you know, a mom and a dad, marriage might not be, you know, quite what it once was. You know, you can think of the Wedding Crashers. Like, there must have been some good times, maybe the marriage. Yeah, everyone loves the wedding. And you get to the point where you're like, look, this isn't, we wouldn't necessarily do this. It was just you and I anymore, but we got some kids that we care about. There's a bigger thing at stake here. And so we're going to do it for that reason. We're going to patch it up. That's what it was feeling like to me. So I take that. And then I go look at the odds right now. You can find this on DraftKings. First team for Aaron Rodgers to take one snap for in 21-22. And I would assume this just voids if he does not take a snap for a team. The Packers are minus 400. The Broncos are plus 400. I think Adam Schefter is as good as it gets. Now, I'll say this. I think our new guy, Ari Merov, had some very – I thought he was on – you know, he agreed with me. He was saying, look, I think he's going to play for the Packers. Schefter's great, but he's not infallible. Remember, he was also on the Mac Jones going to San Francisco at 3. And it's not that, like, he's not the one making these predictions. He's, like, leveraging the sources that he has. But that doesn't mean that they're always right. And so I'm still on Aaron Rodgers playing for the Packers. I think that's where the betting market is. I wouldn't bet minus 400, but I'd bet some of those derivatives of him actually making it to Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very likely that this – he could retire too. I mean, we're talking about a person who has a lot of eclectic –
You think
like
so?
I was listening to a podcast, actually. This is interesting. Like this might make it to a recommendation at some point. But there's a podcast called You Made It Weird with comedian Pete Holmes. And I was like looking through like past episodes of it, and he had Aaron Rodgers on. And I just was like curious. I listened to it. And like Rodgers is not a football player. Rodgers is just a dude. Like, you know, he's a dude that happens to be amazing at football. Like I think among a lot of, and you saw him on Andrew Brandt's show, you saw him on with the Pat McAfee show, like the guy is like a really good, he's amazing football player. He's a Hall of Fame football player, but like he needs the game less, right? Like, I don't think we should be drawing comparisons to like Brett Favre here. Like, I think we should be saying like, this guy can take it or leave it as far as football is concerned, I think in many ways.
Okay. I agree with you. And I think you're also crazy at the same time because yeah, he's a normal dude. But being a normal dude actually sucks relative to being a quarterback in the NFL and a great quarterback in the NFL. And dare I say, the best quarterback in the NFL at times. And he was the MVP last year. So he was the best quarterback in the NFL for a good portion of last year. That's way different than being like, you know what? He's a normal guy. He loves to drink beer. So he's retiring from his job of 20 years as a construction worker. You know, like yeah. There's a big gap there where and look, he's good at other stuff, but he ain't great at it. He was really good at Jeopardy for a quarterback. He's not great. He's not going to get that gig. He's a good actor for a State Farm commercial, but he's not going to be The Rock in 2 years where you're like, oh my God, like this guy's the greatest actor of all time. By far the best thing he does is play football. And I just have a really hard time seeing him when push comes to shove giving up, especially because I think that the Packers will make some concessions because, Eric, I think Jordan Love, I have no love for Jordan Love. And I can't imagine the Packers going from Super Bowl contender to potentially the third or fourth best team in the division with Jordan Love, which is how I see it going. I would say, look, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love is easily a replacement level player, right? 3.5. 4 wins. Like, do you think he's better than that? Do you think he's an average quarterback in the NFL?
I think like base rates alone. So I had Jordan Love more like a second round pick, let's say last year. But like a second round pick, I would maybe make Love a half a win above replacement if he played a whole season, maybe a full win. I also think you have to. What's that?
A full. Where is this love? Where is this Love, pun intended, coming from?
Well, we're just looking at base rates, right? Like he's like a, you know, a not a great. Like I would say this. I don't think he's the greatest prospect of all time. I would not have taken him in round one. But I think if you add in LaFleur, you add in Davante Adams' ability to make plays, you add in now that offensive line, I think this was a good point that I think somebody made. I think it was Greg Rosenthal made on Mina Kimes' podcast, which is like the offensive line does not necessarily look as good without Corey Linsley and possibly David Bakhtiari. So I do think that there are some things that are not quite as good there. But you also have, you know, an NFC North where, and we'll talk about the odds here, like Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, like, you know, maybe one good team out of those, right, is what you can expect every year. So, like, look, I don't think it makes them like a six-win team.
Do you have the odds in front of you right now? I can pull
them. Yeah, I have. So Green Bay currently on DraftKings is -125. Which is shorter than it was recently. So I do think that there has been some reaction to this news. Minnesota's +225, Chicago's +400, which is longer than what it has been previously, which is interesting. Detroit's 25-1 to win the division.
I mean, my reaction to this still is the team that capitalizes the team rooting hardest for Aaron Rodgers to be a man of the people and retire are certainly the Chicago Bears. Because I agree with you. Those other two teams, you know, the Vikings, I think, are always a little more optimistic than or have been a little more optimistic than they probably should be. And you know, the Lions, whatever. But I really would push back on the idea that Jordan Love at quarterback is going to get that team. I know you like Matt LaFleur, but to get that team even to compete with the Minnesota Vikings, like Kirk Cousins is a significantly better quarterback than Jordan Love will be next year if he plays.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's put our reasoning out there. Here would be my odds for the NFC North. If you took Rodgers out completely, let's say we know Rodgers is out completely right now. Okay. And feel free to rip me. I would say Minnesota would be +125, the favorites. I think Green Bay would be 2-1. I think Chicago would be +250. And I think Detroit would still be 20-1.
Okay.
That has the same hold, about 10% as the market is currently. And so essentially the break-even probability for Green Bay goes from 55% down to 33%. So they lose, you know, over 20% chance to win the division. Minnesota goes from about 31% break even to 44% break even, which I think is fair. Interestingly, Minnesota before last season had better odds than even this to win the NFC North. So, you know, maybe I'm a little short on them still. Chicago goes from 20% break even to 29% break even. And then Detroit goes from 4% break even to almost 5% break even. So, I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's more about, you know, if I think about the win total, for example, I think that's where you just need, the Packers would just need to be pretty good. Whereas in the other situations, like the other teams can kind of fall apart. For example, without Rodgers, couldn't you see this division? Now, I think the Bears are pretty decent, but you could see a situation where this division looks kind of like the NFC East did last year, maybe like a slightly rich man's version of that. And so you could have the division odds make more sense than the win total, in my opinion, you know, without Jordan Love. So I guess if you're going to have, if you have one bet that you're like, man, I hope there's still a chance if Aaron Rodgers pieces out, that's definitely the one. The challenge with Jordan Love, and I'm going to ask you this, because is there a part of, I've seen Josh Allen play well now. We saw Justin Herbert do some things that were very exciting last year. Both of them were inaccurate at the college level. Just what either the highest or second highest, I believe in Herbert's case, rate of uncatchable passes past the line of scrimmage for all three of those guys among their draft classes. So are you thinking that can be overcome with scheme more now? Is your opinion on that changed with more information?
It's more of a question about, and I, you know, we've tweaked our model since then. I'm actually going to look at it, you know, Love's model. It's still probably going to point in the same direction. But I think it's more of a acknowledgement that in the right circumstances, toolsy quarterbacks can often have fatter tails than more like the, and this sounds, I'm not trying to compare some guys, but like Cody Kesslers of the world, right? Like guys who do really well in our system, you know, that are very, very good at completing passes at the college level accurately. I think that there's a little bit more to like the idea that somebody can be extremely toolsy, and break that sort of system, I guess, if that makes sense. What do you think? Like, cause for me, it's more of, I really do buy into what Green Bay's doing. And I think that there is like sort of this disconnect. So we have Jordan Love as like profoundly a below average passer, but we do have, if you gave him, so this again is, this is sort of speaking to George, what you're talking about as far as like a quarterback that plays in a decent system that is not a complete disaster is probably going to be worth one more, right? Like we're talking like Jordan Love's taken in round one. He's a fundamentally different player than like Trevor Siemian, I guess, right? Like from an expectation standpoint. So we have Love medium projection about one more if he plays the whole season. Now Rodgers is 4.5, right? Three and a half to 4.5, depending upon whether you want to take last year's number or kind of what a projection would be for this year. Mm-hmm. So they were 10.5. We had it simulated out to 11. So like, is a fair number 9, 8.5, like in that range? Would that offend people if the Packers were reoffered at 8? Because right now it's 9. And I feel like you almost have to go over that number, even if you acknowledge the likelihood that there could be a different quarterback.
Okay, so I agree, but I agree because I think the chances of Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback for most or all of the season for the Packers are high. If it's Jordan Love, and I know it's Jordan Love, I think saying 8 or 8.5 is a tremendous hat tip to LaFleur and the rest of the Packers and Davante Adams. Like, you do not see... Now, the Packers have a really great set of superstars. You know, we talked about they have the highest graded quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, the highest graded left tackle, Dave Bakhtiari, highest graded wide receiver, Davante Adams, highest graded cornerback in Jair Alexander, highest graded safety in Adrian Amos, or at least most valuable. I'm not sure if you end up highest graded. That's amazing. But you take the quarterback out of that equation, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, first off, I don't know if Davante Adams is going to be the highest graded receiver anymore because how many opportunities is he going to get to catch the football? And David Bakhtiari's impact obviously is going to decrease because he's not keeping a pocket clean for a guy with like a 140 pass rating from a clean pocket. So those things all start to erode a little bit. And you look at rookie quarterbacks coming into situations, even with decent things around them, like their win total is going to be nowhere near that. So I think 8, 8.5 would honestly be like a really generous number. I think 8.5 would be a little generous. I'd probably go like 8. Yeah. And that's where I would be at. And right now I would have no problem betting over because you just heard Adam Schefter say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be in Green Bay. Okay. That could be true. And he can, as I said before, he could still go back and play there. You know, that does not prevent those two things are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where I think the opportunity is. Now you have to go to some different books. I believe like their Packers win total is not available at our friends at DraftKings, but you know, you could go to other places where they're hanging nine. You could also bet, as you said, game by game. You could, you know, have Green Bay. Like, again, like if Jameis is playing against Jordan Love, I'm still going to take Jordan Love in a plus 8.5 teaser week one in New Orleans. Like, that's just to me like a mathematical play because of the Wong teaser aspect to it. But it is interesting. I think eight is probably where the market's going to go. Because, you know, we have precedent, right? Like, you think about this for a sec. The Chicago Bears win total right now is 7.5, minus 120 to the under, plus 100 to the over. So the Bears are a team. And again, I think we all believe Justin Fields is better than Jordan Love, right? Yep. But you are talking about a rookie quarterback behind a below average veteran on a team that just, you know, let's say in a 17 game season, they would have won 8.5 games, let's say. So if you offer the Packers at 8, let's say, you're basically saying that the Justin Fields versus the Packers roster gives the Pack, you know, essentially, right? Like, you're looking at that and you're saying, oh, that's only like 1/2 of a win better. Like, I have a little bit of a difficult time with that.
Yeah.
Again, we like Fields, but like the betting markets, like everything shrinks, right? Everything shrinks down to some sort of expectation and you're squeezing out a half a win here and there, right? So I think Fields is so much better than Love.
Yeah. Who has the better supporting cast? Love or Fields?
Well, the offensive line for the Bears is still, I don't think, quite as good as the Packers, even reduced. Robinson is not as good as Adams, but I think some of the younger receivers for the Bears are better than some of the younger receivers for the Packers. Tanyan and Komet are about the same. So it's the running games are about the same. Who cares?
What about the defense?
And LaFleur is better than Nagy. So, like,
what about the defense?
Let's say they're about the same.
I think that's fair. Is that, what is that? A half win?
Yeah. Like we have Fields. If Fields played an entire season, I believe Fields' projected WAR is like 1.7.
Okay. This aligns perfectly with how I feel. I think that at most the rest of the roster plus the coach for the Packers at most is half a win better than that of the Bears. And I think that might be generous because you've said this before, you know, Matt Nagy had Mitch fucking Trubisky and Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Okay. He was with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. It's not like this guy has no pedigree. Matt LaFleur had Aaron Rodgers, big difference. And Devontae Adams better than Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is fucking amazing. Like, he's really, really good. And as you said, the rest of the receiving core, I believe, is better than the Packers. And I think there is probably a win above replacement difference between Fields and Love. And it could be even bigger. So, like, you add those two things together and I am now changing my tune. Like, that's why I like betting the Bears, I guess, right? Is that I think the Bears are better than the Packers are if you take away Rodgers.
Well, I think right now the fact that you can get the Bears at 4-1 to win the NFC North is a steal. Like, that to me.
Agreed. That is the point.
I have some Minnesota 4-1. That's a 2.5-1 or 225. Like, that's probably right. Mm-hmm. Maybe you take a little bit of Minnesota. The other place to look is these to make the playoff props. So right now, the Vikings are plus 125 to make the playoffs. That's another one where you could think about, you know, you have the best quarterback in the division if Rodgers leaves, or you probably do. I mean, Fields has higher upside than Cousins, but like, but plus 125 there, that's not a terrible one. Whereas the Bears are 2-1 to make the playoffs in a 7-team NFC where aside from Tampa sucks. Bay, who's an elite team?
The NFC is absolutely terrible. Yeah, no, that's a great, I'm glad that we ended up just talking about how the Bears are smart bets here. And I agree with that.
By the way, we'll talk. So one of the great here's a bet that specifically on DraftKings you can get boosted, which is Detroit to make the playoffs was plus 750. You can get it boosted to 12-1, which I think you almost have to do.
Can you imagine? That would be quite a year. We're going to get to some prop bets here. Before we do, I want to tell you guys about the 40% off sale, which I mentioned at the top, but there are a few things. I focused on some betting stuff. There's some other stuff in there too. The NFL draft guide for 2022. Yes, I know it's 2021, but the draft guide for next year, our first version, is out today. It is a part of both the Edge subscription, which can cost you only $5.99 with the promo code SAVE40. It's out there. It comes also with an elite subscription. The Fantasy Football Draft Guide is also out with player rankings, projections, all of those fantasy tools as well. The College Football Preview Magazine, all those pieces are a part of the Edge and elite subscriptions and are 40% off with promo code SAVE40. So you can get it as low as $5.99. So go do that right now. And also our friends at Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L, still offering you an amazing deal where if you deposit $10 at symbol.app/PFF, you can get a free PFF Edge annual subscription. And of course, that means you get $10 switch to buy and sell shares of sports teams. Like you can buy a share of the Chicago Bears or the Detroit Lions. And then when they win a game, you'll get paid out a dividend. And you can, of course, trade those shares as the prices change. So go to Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L.app. And don't forget, save 40, give it to a friend. Be a good Samaritan. Let's talk player props here. You wrote a really cool article. Oftentimes, my criticism of our analysis is that it can be hard to understand. It's like, I've got data that isn't always the most intuitive. It takes a lot of explanation, yada, yada, yada. But you wrote a piece on looking at player props, particularly interception player props, that I thought was as understandable for the layman as anything that I've read recently. Talk about the thesis in that article, which you can go check out at pff.com today.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always the mark I think of. And again, we don't always do the best job of this. I think we're improving there. I think you're a humongous part of that in how you drive.
Thank you.
But like and I was explaining this to Zach and Tej, our interns, because they're doing something really cool with yards per route run. So look forward to that, fantasy players and folks that are betting player props and stuff. Because I think like the issue is like, we just don't like we say stuff and then people misinterpret us. And then that gets like memed out. Right. And there was an article by Ben Lindsay that was talking about Jonathan Allen, which looked at him as a superstar based upon his pressure rate. And somebody was like, wait a sec, you're not telling me pressures are better than sacks. And so I quote tweeted this person and I said, look, like, no, sacks are better than pressures, but pressures predict sacks better than sacks do. So buy pressures, right? Like that's what you want. And we're not saying that sacks don't matter. We're not saying that there are some people who are not or better finishers than others, right? Like Jadeveon Clowney, like can't get a sack to save his life, but is a relatively good pressure player. Like eventually you do have to look at those edge cases. Like there's no, you know, and so I got myself thinking, I'm like, cause I, you know, and we built the props tool together. The props tool takes into account a lot more than what I'm going to talk about, but that's not always fun. And I think part of the fun of a PFF subscription, which you can get with SAVE40 as the promo code, is doing some of this stuff yourself. And so I wrote an article basically saying, look, one of the things that we've started to put in premium stats are turnover-worthy plays and turnover-worthy play rates. And turnover-worthy play rates predict interceptions better than interceptions do. And so if you're thinking, and let's say, you know, that you don't want to use our player props tool, you want to make your own player props models. That's perfectly fine. We don't care. Like, that's awesome. That's a fun intellectual endeavor. And in fact, sometimes I like to have other models that I compare to things like Green Line and our props tool. And interceptions was the simplest one, right? Because if you take turnover-worthy plays, you can, and maybe other data if you want to or not, you can predict sort of like how many expected interceptions you'd take from a player in a given game. And there's this fun distribution called the Poisson distribution, which I show in the article. It really well approximates what actually happens, which is that, you know, there are a ton of games where a quarterback throws no interceptions, and then some games read those three or four, and you can use those little probabilities against the bookmaker's number and see if you have a bettable play. And you know, that was an article, I think, that, you know, hopefully, you know, will inspire some people to build their own models, will inspire people to use some PFF data and think about other props where the result is a function, not necessarily of the results previously, but of the process that gives rise to the result, processes that we're trying to measure at PFF.
I think the place where I most vividly remember us talking about this and this coming into play, which will be fresh for people's minds, hopefully, is the Super Bowl and thinking about Tom Brady's interception prop. Tom Brady threw a fair number of interceptions last year. The one that comes to mind, ironically, is week one, where he threw an interception targeting Mike Evans. And everyone goes, oh, look, you know, it's going to be a rough one for Brady. And it was a miscommunication, you know, Mike Evans, you know, and he were not on the same page. And that's where PFF, I remember having this conversation with Ben Stockwell, who doesn't get mentioned enough, by the way. Ben Stockwell is our head of analysis. He is the man that obsesses over making grading as objective as it possibly can be. And no, does not hate your team. And I remember talking to him about that play and saying, you know, okay, so is this a turnover-worthy play? You know, explain it to me, you know, take me through your thought process. And I believe it ended up being graded, I'll have to check with Bruce here, but I believe it ended up being graded as a negative gradedly throw, but not a turnover-worthy play. And it shows up in the box score as an interception. It shows up. And when people are looking at the Super Bowl, they've forgotten about that play long down the road. But that is a huge difference, right? At that point, those players were on the same page. And that's just one example. But Brady's turnover-worthy play rate was one of the best in the league. Whereas you look at his interception rate and total number of interceptions, you go, wow, he's been reckless with the football. And that was an opportunity to bet no interceptions at a plus number. I want to say it was close to plus 140. Which is one of the numbers that you reference here in the article. And that is a huge area of opportunity because player props are just not something that people are attuned to. They will get there at some point, you know, so get in there while it's hot. Go read the article. You should definitely check it out. And then, you know, go leverage that Save 40 promo code and go take that number and use it to inform your decision-making throughout the year. I think it's a really cool thing that is easy enough for people. I know we have a lot of people listening to this podcast who are advanced mathematically, but some of you may be trying to find something to get the ball rolling on that. And it's always nice to find an easy example, an easy thing to do to get started. And I find that, I think this one is a great example of that, where I think just about anyone, you know, with a little bit of grit and determination could pick this up and leverage it throughout their season. So I think this is really cool. Do you have any other, you know, obviously this talks more about like in-game props, anything that you would leverage out of this in terms of futures or player props, you know, season long?
Yeah, I think the thing that's important to know about game by game props versus season long props is the distributions are more normal as the number of games and snaps goes up, right? So when we cite the mean for player props for season-long bets, that is because the distributions are more normal. They're not perfectly normal, but they're more normal. And by normal, you know, we mean bell-shaped. We mean the median and the mean are about the same. Whereas for a game-to-game, it's really important to pin down what the probabilities are, right? That's why, you know, in the article, I say, like, look, if a guy has a 3% interception or, you know, turnover-worthy play rate, let's say, and he throws 35 passes, then that's a 1.5 is your average. But then like the question is like, what does that even mean? Like, does that mean you should bet one interception over, right? Like that, and that's why you have to attach a probability model to it. For season long, it's a little bit more straightforward in that there are fat tails for sure, but they're not quite as fat as the game level. So like, but even like interceptions at a season level, sacks at a season level, if you can get a prop. I know game to game, one of the things that you can do is leverage, you know, game to game sacks, right? So we talked about that in the Super Bowl, but, you know, think about, you know, on PFF, you know, you can go in and find out what's the probability that a sack turns into a pressure for each quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. You can also know what a quarterback's pressure rate is going to be, right? You can even tune it to the offensive line grades, which of course are on pff.com. You know, so if you want to bet an over under, a lot of times it's something like 2.5, 3.5 sacks. Like that's a prop that if you want to make use of the PFF data yourself, you can certainly do that. You know, touchdowns, it's a little bit weird. So here's an example, George, I wanted to point out. Using big time throws to predict touchdowns is a little bit tricky. And so you got to be a little bit careful there. It's not quite as stable, and they don't predict touchdowns nearly as well. Now, they do a decent job, but you look at Brady over the years. So 2018, Brady had 20 turnover worthy plays. 2019, he had 18. 2020, he had 17. So about the same every single year. But his interceptions went from 14 to 9 to 15. So again, more variability in the outcome than the process. That's kind of what you want. For big time throws, he had 33, 23, and then 56 last year. And a lot of that is sort of volume based, but then his touchdowns similarly oscillated, 31, 24, 50, if you include a postseason. So again, you know, again, you have 2 months almost till the regular season. PFF, you know, the premiums, you know, premium stats will sort of lead you to a lot of different hypotheses. And you know, our props tool gives some betting markets, but not all of them. And I think the gold mine is to find the betting markets, you know, that are yours, and you can hammer, you know, for a few weeks until your books limit you.
One of the reasons to explain that a little bit. So you brought up two things that are really interesting. A player, let's say they play four games and they have zero interceptions in three of them. And they have a Jameis Winston in the fourth game and throw four interceptions. Okay. So they've thrown four interceptions, four games, their average is one, but three of those games, they didn't throw an interception. Right. And so the average and you betting the under every single game don't tell the same story, which is what you're getting at. And you can see that in the distributions that you have in the article. The second thing is big time throws. A touchdown requires you to be, or should I say this, a touchdown is hugely influenced by where you are on the field, but you can make a great throw anywhere on the field. And to some degree, actually, I believe this is correct. I haven't looked at this in a while. But your opportunity to make a big time throw actually increases the more space you have in the field.
Yeah, right.
So you are more likely to make a big time throw at the 50, but less likely to score a touchdown. And therefore, the way that it predicts touchdowns is different than an interception and a turnover worthy play, where an interception can happen anywhere, right? There's no like, oh, they're in the red zone and therefore interceptions are more likely to happen. And a turnover worthy play is a turnover worthy throw, I should say. Is a throw that should result in a turnover. In fact, they do more than 50%, about 50% of the time, whereas all of the throws result in a turnover like less than like 0.3% of the time. So that's the reason there's a huge difference between those two things predicting the outcome, either an interception or a touchdown. I have a touchdown prop, ironically, that I really like, and I want to pitch it to you. The odds for most passing touchdowns on DraftKings.com: Patrick Mahomes +310, Tom Brady +550, Aaron Rodgers +600, Josh Allen 9-1. So is Russell Wilson. I don't like any of those, but you know who I like? Dak Prescott at 12-1.
Yeah, I like that too.
And the reason that I like this, so most passing yards, Dak Prescott is the second favorite at +550. And, The reason I like this so much is a couple of things. There is a opinion out there that I think is fairly wide that Zeke Elliott is a rock star at running back. We don't believe that necessarily to be true. And the Cowboys defense may improve, but it's still going to be very bad. And the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have something to prove here. I think they want to rationalize what they've invested in Dak Prescott. They're going to give him every opportunity to throw for a ton of touchdowns. Their defense is going to be bad. 12-1 to me. I like that even more than betting him, for example, to win the MVP, where he is 14-1. Like, if you think about how much harder it would be for him to win the MVP relative to throwing the most passing touchdowns, like, I think there's a big, the two circles have a decent, you know, overlap, but there's still a chance that a Mahomes or a Rodgers or a Brady has such a great record and is so efficient, right? Maybe he doesn't throw like any interceptions or hardly interceptions, where he doesn't win the MVP, but does win most passing touchdowns. So that was one that I recently saw come up on DraftKings that I really, really liked. I actually have a couple more, but I want to see if there were any that that you liked as well.
Yeah, this is one where I'm sort of like also I'm kind of doing a little bit of projection here because of the number. I like Brian Burns going over 9.5 sacks at plus 110. We talked about this when Nate Tice was on the other day, like when smart football people say things repeatedly, it doesn't make me change my mind, but it makes me go back and look and be open to change my mind. And the number of people who have praised Brian Burns over the last like few months makes me, fairly bullish on him. I think the Falcons are a sack taking team. The Saints will be a bigger sack taking team with Jameis or Taysom. The Bucks, take long dropbacks. Like, I think there's going to be an opportunity for Burns here to have a really good year.
It's interesting you mentioned the Bucks, because Brady had one of the craziest seasons in terms of such a quick time to throw. It was below 2.3 seconds, but also I believe the second deepest average depth of target. I think only Drew Locke had more, but he's not mobile at all. He's doing the TB12 method, but he ain't moving around. I love the Brian Burns one. I think he's a great, as Darius Butler said on this podcast, a great dark horse for defensive player of the year. I like that. Here's the other one that I think is really interesting. Most interceptions thrown. So the favorite is Sam Darnold, 7-1, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 8-1, Jared Goff, also 8-1, Zach Wilson, 9-1, Jalen Hurts, 10-1, Trevor Lawrence, 12-1, Ben Roethlisberger, also 12-1. Ben Roethlisberger, in my opinion, has as good of a chance of leading league in interceptions as any of those guys, in large part because he's not getting benched. And when I look at this prop, the first thing that I think about is, okay, if this guy throws a crap ton of interceptions, what are the chances that he gets benched? Ryan Fitzpatrick?
High.
Very high.
Right.
Sam Darnold.
Taylor Heineke's playing in that case. Yeah.
I mean, Sam Darnold, maybe not super high, but still like it could look really bad and he could get benched. Jared Goff, I mean, they're probably rolling with him, but he's also kind of a wuss. I don't foresee him actually taking that many chances. Ben Roethlisberger ain't getting benched. And at 12-1, that is one that I am keen on, but I don't like it as much as this one way down the list, which is a guy that I do think has a fair chance to get benched if he's throwing a ton of interceptions, but Jameis Winston is 30-1. And yeah, for a guy that once threw 30 interceptions, I find that to be absolutely bananas.
I feel like Sean Payton's also a growth mindset guy. We'll keep Jameis out there,
Let him play through it.
Right. And the other thing is league leader in interceptions. We're not talking about the guy doesn't have to throw 30.
No.
Right? Like, who is the league leader in picks last year? Was it in the teens?
Who was it last year? Oh my God.
Let me look. Passing interceptions, 15 is the leader last year. Drew Locke and Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
There was only two players with more than third. Like Russell Wilson had the third most interceptions in football last year, tied with Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins, by the way.
Russell Wilson is 40-1. Patrick Mahomes. The limits on these are obviously not high, but like,
yeah.
Would it be absolute? Oh, here's one that I like. Tua at 40-1.
Who's his backup? One. Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, they're probably not going with Brissett.
They're letting Tua ride or die this season. Yeah. That is what this is. That's my favorite one. Here's another one that I like, and I'm on the most. I'm on a most kick here. I just talked about the Cowboys. I like Zeke 18-1 most rushing touchdowns. Why? Because they're paying Zeke a lot of money. And you know what looks good, but isn't really indicative of how good the running back is? Touchdowns. And do I think that Dak Prescott leads that offense up and down the field? I do. So I like betting, and tell me if you think this is a stupid idea. I don't have a problem betting Dak Prescott 12-1 most passing touchdowns and Zeke Elliott 18-1 most rushing touchdowns. Not only do I think there's like a chance both of those happen, because I think this offense could be amazing, but I think Dak Prescott being efficient, which I think he will, could either lead to one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like, are they going to justify the Zeke contract by giving him carries near the goal line to sort of come back? Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I don't think, here's an interesting thing. If I had to bet, the person that gets fewer goal line carries will be Dak Prescott.
Yeah, but the touchdown throws will be something, right? Like, right, like you said, right. There's a good chance one of them does. One of them gets a lot of freaking opportunities. That's a pretty good bet.
That is my bet. Any other player props you want to give the people right now?
I gave this away on the PFF Daily Betting Podcast, which you should also listen to.
Greater.
But this is one where I don't think people are going to be like, well, what the heck, Eric? I like Justin Herbert over 4,450 and a half yards. I think the Chargers are going to be worse than people think. I think defensively, especially, I think that they will throw the ball more. Like, you look at the Joe Lombardi Lions, like, they threw the ball a lot, you know, and I also think that the division is going to be better on offense, especially. I think the Raiders are going to be better than people think, right? Like, I think that those two games will be shootouts more. Mm. I think the Chiefs games will be shootouts, especially like the shit that the Chargers have been talking about the Chiefs, who they're like 2-15 against over the last like whatever years. Mm. I think the Chiefs are going to try to hang 50 on the Chargers twice, which means that Herbert's going to throw for like a few, you know, 400 yards in both games. I think Herbert goes over this number for reasons that are not due to like Herbert being amazing, but just like, you know, efficiency's sake.
I'm glad that you added that caveat there. Really important. Really important that you kept that in. There are a lot of new player props on here. Look, we've already been rambling for like 40 minutes, but we may have to dive into this on Sunday in a little more detail.
Yep.
It's the beauty of the NFL season. There's no off season. Let's do some recommendations. Do you have a recommendation?
Oh,
for people.
I was not prepared. Let me,
you're not prepared. Okay. That's my
fault. I actually have one though. That I've been reading this book, and I think I talked to you about this when we were on the phone the other day. Mm-hmm. Mindset by Carolyn Dweck has been a great book. I think for people in a competitive industry, much like football, I think it's a really good read.
Give me a, like,
so I actually got this when I was a professor with one of my grants, because I was like learning about teaching, you know, sort of weird to say, but essentially the idea is the difference between the growth mindset and a fixed mindset is more pinned down. And I think we all have sort of an intuition about what we think that is. But Caroline Dweck did a really good job, I think, of pinning that down better, and why people have jealousies, why people fail to grow, and why it's difficult to teach one group of people if you're a certain way. And, you know, so that's always good. You know, for us, we have managed teams and all that kind of stuff. It's a good thing to sort of read, and just really to evaluate yourself too.
So that was the point I was going to make is, you know, when I taught, I didn't teach for America, and the mindset that it takes on your side to like act in a way that promotes those things is not, it's not easy. And the best example that I have of that is how often you catch, or I caught myself saying, he or she is smart, which I'm going to bring back to football here, because we often talk about he is inaccurate throwing the football. And that is something that just we, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, he's just inaccurate. He's not going to improve. And we were talking about this with, was it Josh Allen? I think it was, where it's like,
it's always Josh Allen.
Yeah. It's always Josh Allen, but it's like a fixed mindset is pervasive in the world. Like, why would it not be pervasive in football? And maybe implicitly where you train in a way that you're not acknowledging like the growth mindset to the fullness of it. And coaches and your trainers may not have that either. And like, that has an impact, right? You can believe, quote unquote, that your player or your student or whoever can improve. But if you don't understand like how to facilitate that, and I think that is the thing that is the reason why that book is a really good read. I don't have like a particular, well, I do have a recommendation, but I wanted to tell you, so I'm in New York right now, and I managed to do something that was really embarrassing. And this is kind of a recommendation, which is when you go to New York, obviously you should take the subway. Okay. That's obvious. there's nothing better. There's no higher feeling than, there's a really positive reinforcement to effectively and efficiently taking the subway in New York. It's like, if you do it and you get someplace like on time for like $2.25, you feel like you could navigate, you know, the globe like perfectly. However, on the flip side, if you manage to fuck it up, there's not much of a lower feeling than like me, an idiot who thought I knew exactly where I was going, just walked right into the subway, meant to go downtown, and literally went uptown for like 15 minutes before realizing, just sitting there on Slack, you know, doing things. So my recommendation is not to fuck up the subway. You're welcome. You're welcome for that recommendation, which I know is not a great recommendation. But that
did
is
you mine get Arby Sparrow?
Did I get what?
Did you get Sparrow?
No, I did not get Sparrow.
I've said that joke to you like 3 times. I don't think you remember the Office like joke.
No, I don't.
So
I'm sorry.
So Michael Scott, when he goes to like corporate, he's like, this is my, he like pretended he was like this New York, like lifer, right? Like he goes to New York all the time. He's like super cultured. And he's like, I go, here's my favorite New York pizza place. He goes to like Sparrow.
Oh, okay. Do you want my New York pizza place?
Sure.
I mean, the funny thing is, it's not like everyone thinks of the New York slice as like this perfect thin slice of pizza. And you can go get those. Like, I actually think John's of Bleecker Street is really, 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 really freaking good. But I love artichoke pizza, which is like a thicker slice. They have what's actually an artichoke pizza. They also have a crab pizza. And this is like a meal, man. Like, you get a slice of this pizza, it's fucking thick, it's hearty. The line is always there any time of day. It is, I think if I had to pick one slice of pizza in New York, it's ironically that. And I'll give you another restaurant recommendation. If you are rolling around in New York City, venture out to Brooklyn, a place called the Llama Inn. Very, very, very good. They have like a steak. It's like, you know, it's not like overly high priced, like my cologne that I was telling people about. They have a dish that combines French fries and steak. And it's amazing. And you should go. And scallion pancakes is very, very good. So if you haven't been there, that's my recommendation for the people. Nice. We'll be back on Sunday. Will we be in the same place on Sunday?
If you're going to be in town, I'm going to be in town too then. We'll be at the studio.
I mean, we can. Let's do it. You, buddy. It's been a long time. Everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love you. Have a wonderful weekend. See you on Sunday. Peace. In the dark, you shine.